My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know exactly what you did, but you've made Jesus really angry. Fire, division, no peace. Mostly it's awkward, because we prefer tame, domestic Jesus. Our friend who comes to dinner, walks with us, talks with us, spends time in pleasant gardens, maybe walking along the beach. Quaint Jesus, friendly Jesus. We domesticate so many of these things. Gild our crosses in gold. Put flowers all over tombs. We want it to be sweet, palatable, comforting. Part of what Jesus comes to do is usher in the kingdom of heaven, a new creation, one unlike this old, sinful, decaying creation we live in. The things of this age pass away. That's what the book of Revelation is totally taken up with, the full and utter destruction of the world we know. And then a new heaven and a new earth. And in his ministry, Jesus proclaims how that kingdom is already breaking in, prefiguring the fullness of it, calling us out of old, dead ways to live in that kingdom now. If we actually take that call, somehow follow through on that, well, that brings division. Creates people next to each other living in two different realities. One of the old Adam and the other of the new. Try to say to someone sometime, the world you live in is dead to me. It's not going to go well. They're going to think you're pompous and probably turn and walk away. And we're called to exactly that, to live as if this world, its politics, its dreams, its possessions, are nothing. That the fullness is already here. When Jesus speaks of having a baptism with which to be baptized, he's talking about going to the cross, baptized in his own blood. The early church grabbed onto this when most of them were hauled before princes and authorities and became martyrs. They talked about a second baptism, the one in blood, found comfort that their Savior too went through that. Though they didn't go so far as to talk about that as necessary for salvation, rather saw it as participation in the body of Christ. Because in our baptism, when we joined the body of Christ, the one with water and word, we're joined to Christ's bloody baptism on the cross, where our salvation is already taken care of and given freely to us, so that the ways in which we forget about the kingdom, hoard up treasure for ourselves, ignore our neighbor on the road, or even living in the house next door, that those can be forgiven. And I sort of misread this text to you. I made Jesus all angry, sounding like he was bringing hellfire upon you. I came to bring fire to the earth. He wishes it were already kindled, because he's not talking about toasting you, Once he's died and risen and ascended, he sends fire. The Holy Spirit comes as tongues of flame, and then, only then, do the 12 who gave up their livelihoods, their boats, their tax booths, their father's houses, and went and followed him. It takes the fire for them to finally get it. Leading into this text, one of the 12 says to Jesus, "Oh, all these things you've said about coming back, about being ready, were you talking to us or those crowds over there?" It sets him off. Because if you read the Gospels, the disciples are, well, I guess the nice way to say it is doofuses. They never have any idea what's going on, never understand a word out of Jesus' mouth. But once they're blazing with the Spirit, then they have faith to heal people, have them stand up and walk, to raise them from the dead, to actually build a community where people's needs are taken care of, giving up their possessions to live in common. For a brief moment, they realize, in the midst of our dying world, a community where there isn't sickness, where everyone has clothes and something to eat and something to drink. But we're even divided within ourselves. Forget the household. We grab these things for but a moment and then sin again, oh mightily do we. But there is Christ, ready to forgive and call us into that kingdom anew, letting us die to our sin daily. And when you read the hellfire out of this, I think the text becomes far more terrifying. Because if it's hellfire, right? If God is just going to come and, like, "You're all sinners," flames away. Well, it's simple. We know that. It's final. I think it's far more terrifying to come before God and be forgiven. Because the judgment's still there. The death still happens. But when we're forgiven and given resurrection and set afire with the Spirit, well, then it's a whole new game that we don't know how to play, one that we don't get to try and make rules for. It's one where God is calling the shots and putting us in a situation of how things always should have been. And the challenge for those of us who gather around this word, who are those Jesus calls his mothers and brothers, those who hear and respond to the word, we're called to the kingdom. We're given a taste of what it is. And to be lit a fire and just burn out or not blaze at all, I think is far more terrifying than all the demons of hell can unleash. Because our dreams, our treasures we hoard, or even whatever the most demonic forces can kindle, can't undo the power of the cross and the forgiveness of our Lord. We're divided, but only through Christ who forgives us, time and time again, do we blaze with the Spirit destined for resurrection and life in the kingdom. Amen.